This is the last Sunday evening service of the year 2019, preparing for the new year 2020. Let's give all thanks and glory to God the Trinity, who's provided His grace and unchanging love all through this year. I also like to thank our beloved senior pastor, who's earnestly prayed with love for the souls all over the world. My thanks also go to beloved Mrs. Bongnyum Lee, who's led the Spirit-filled Daniel prayer meeting every night on behalf of all MAMI members. Thank you. I thank all the church members and church workers who have devoted themselves in each and every area. Let's encourage and thank one another. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, before I begin today's sermon, I'd like to share this inspiring story with you. There was a 23-year-old young man with a promising future. He was commissioned as a second lieutenant and assigned to a frontline unit. One day, one of his soldiers under his command accidentally dropped his grenade. As a result, he lost part of his right arm and got hospitalized. His girlfriend, who used to go out with back in college, visited him in a hospital. There was something he wanted to ask this girl. After hesitating for quite a while, he asked, "Do you still rub me with one of my arms missing?" He asked this, trying to hide his nervousness. How do you think his girlfriend responded to this question? She replied as follows, "It's not your arm, but you, yourself, that I loved. It doesn't matter your right arm is missing." Hearing this, he felt like he'd got everything in the world. Moreover, his girlfriend ran into a room near the hospital and continually cared for him, visiting him in the hospital. Everyone who saw that was moved, but her father was an exception. He was concerned about her living with a man with disability for the rest of her life. He suggested that she would give up on him and found another man. Then his daughter asked him, "It should never happen, but if one of your arms were missing, do you think it'd be right for a mother to leave you?" Hearing this, her father found it impossible to deter her and permitted their relationship. Afterwards, he was discharged, and to overcome his disability, he made all the greater efforts. As a result of his endeavor, he developed a new product named Hanaru, which is a mix of shampoo and conditioner, and the toothpaste 2080, which is customized to people from ages 20 through 80. He also developed a cell phone model show, which featured video calls, which was revolutionary at the time, thereby rising to a position of a vice president of a leading telecommunications company in Korea. He is Sohwan Cho, former vice president of KTF and former board member of Aegyong. He was nicknamed a living legend of marketing. His success is the result of his tireless efforts, but it was also brought forth by a woman with unchanging heart who saved a young man from despair. He concluded his story as follows. "People who are willing find a way, while those who are unwilling look for an excuse." Because the woman had an unchanging love for that man, she was able to find a way to live with him. If her love for him had changed, the fact that he lost his arm could have been a crucial reason that she left him. She would have also provided an excuse that her father objected to their relationship. Brothers and sisters, to possess an unchanging heart is an important virtue for us to live an upright life in the world. An idiom tells us that we should stick with one thing. If we quickly move from one thing to another, just because we don't get desired result immediately, we cannot reap fruit. In other words, when we do something with unfailing assurance, we can miraculously bear fruit in the end. Thus, I hope that all of us will achieve such an unchanging heart and become blessed ones. Brothers and sisters, then, what should we do to achieve an unchanging heart? First, we should always remember the grace and favor we've received. When we receive someone's favor, we express our love and joy for that. Yet, if we find ourselves in an unexpected situation or trouble, our heart may change. There's a well-known Chinese letter idiom signifying steadfast sincerity or an unchanging true heart. A person with such a heart wouldn't change no matter the situation. Peter exemplifies such an unchanging and steadfast heart. Luke chapter 5 features a scene where he met Jesus for the first time before being called to be his disciple. As a fisherman, Peter worked strenuously all through the night, throwing his nets. But oddly enough, he and his fellow fishermen caught no fish. Feeling hopeless, they came back to the shore and washed their nets. At this point, Jesus came over and said that he would use that boat. Having a good heart, inner heart, Peter put his boat back on the sea so that Jesus could preach standing on his boat. Peter didn't do so because he wanted something in return. He just unconditionally let him use his boat. As Jesus finished preaching to the people, he commanded Peter to put out into the deep water and let down his nets. As Peter obeyed this and threw his nets, he and his other fishermen caught so many fish that their two boats were sinking. Witnessing such marvelous work, Peter knelt down before Jesus and said, "Go away from the Lord. Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Even so, Jesus commanded Peter to follow him. Obeying this, Peter immediately left his boat and everything behind and followed Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I had the following awakening from this scene. Because Peter had a good inner heart, he could experience the favor of catching a great number of fish, filling two boats. In addition, he realized that Jesus was the Savior. Back in those days, the Jews eagerly waited for the Messiah who would reverse their situation. They expected a political Messiah. Peter was also one of those Jews. Even before meeting Jesus, Peter followed John the Baptist, who proclaimed about the Messiah. Then, by the guidance of Andrew, his brother, he met Jesus for the first time. Even though Peter had met Jesus, he didn't decide to become his disciple right away. But one day, this surprising incident that changed Peter's life occurred. Leaving behind his knowledge and experience, he opened the door to his thoughts and obeyed the words of Jesus. As a result, he caught a great quantity of fish to the point his nets began to break. Seeing this, he opened wide the door to his heart towards Jesus. Leaving all things behind, he decided to become his disciple. Peter recognized the limit of his ability and confessed that by Jesus' word, he was able to do something that was impossible on his own. The confession originated from his truthful heart that enabled him to remember the favor he received. Some people, however, even after they experienced power through the people of God, they forget their favor and talk as if they had experienced them by their own efforts or it had been a coincidence. In light of the truth, we can't help but feel regrettable for these people. People say that a person's attitude before he enters a bathroom becomes different when he walks out of the bathroom. It's the same. We also hear of people who pay back their grace with enmity. It's like a person who was saved from drowning asks the person who saved him out of water to give back his belongings. But those with a truthful heart remember the favor. Afterwards, right before Jesus was crucified, he was consumed by fear and denied having known Jesus three times. But after he realized his weakness, he remained steadfast in doing his best to pay back the grace. But what about Judas Iscariot? While he was accompanying Jesus, he must have watched the scene where Jesus revived Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, by commanding him to come out of the grave. Also, when the widow of Nain's city was heading to the burial site for his dead son, as soon as Jesus touched his coffin, his son came back to life. Other than these, Judas must have seen Jesus preaching the gospel to the poor and healing the sick. He also witnessed Jesus' sign of feeding 5,000 people who are hungry with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and the leftover filling 12 baskets. Judas Iscariot became his disciple because he himself had received a lot of grace from Jesus. Not by someone's urging, but he himself volunteered to become his disciple. By the way, why do you think he changed his mind and sold his master? Not keeping in mind the favor he received, he rather harbored greed for money with the heart of a thief and judged Jesus in his thoughts. He had a selfish desire by which he thought that if Jesus seized power, he would enjoy some of his authority. Finally, he ended up selling his teacher for 30 pieces of silver. The result of his betrayal was so miserable and so wretched. On the contrary, what about those people who live the life in which they recognize the tremendous grace they've received and try to pay it back in any hardships or persecutions? You know, before meeting God, Senior Pastor had led a hopeless and desperate life. Lying in sickbed for 7 years, he struggled with incurable diseases and extreme poverty. While he lived in such despair and loneliness, what he only could do was lying down in his room and waiting for his death. But as soon as he met God, God completely changed his life. God healed him of diseases which were incurable by man, relieved him of poverty, and brought happiness to his family. Above all, he provided him with the grace of salvation and hope for heaven. As he obeyed according to the Bible, God blessed him to accomplish the world evangelization with his marvelous power. After Senior Pastor met God who creates something from nothing and governs the history of mankind and our life and death and blessings and curse, he became the happiest man in the world. And what about what kind of confession does he make? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labor even more than all of them, yet I deny, but the grace of God with me." Just as Apostle Paul made this confession, Senior Pastor presses on without wavering, even when he suffers hardship on account of our God, Lord. Amen. God desires all His children to achieve such a truthful and unchanging heart. We should also never forget the thrills of meeting our Lord and the moments we experienced God's amazing power through Him. Even amidst the trials or hardships, we should keep in mind that grace we've received without an unchanging heart, thereby receiving abundant blessings. Brothers and sisters, to achieve an unchanging heart that God desires, second, we should be able to love God first. When Abraham, the father of faith, was commanded to leave from his country, relatives, and his father's house, he didn't say, "I can't because I love my family." If he had said so, he wouldn't have become the father of faith. Even while he went through many incidents after leaving, he could show obedience and become victorious with love for God. Then, what do you think was the highlight of all the deeds of love Abraham demonstrated? As you can guess, I'd like you to make a guess. It was the moment when he offered his only son Isaac on the mountain in the land of Moriah. How much should a person love God to be able to offer his own son more precious than his own life? His deeds of love and obedience clearly demonstrate how qualified he is as the father of faith. It clearly demonstrates how qualified he was. Also, as Mami members love God like Abraham did, they are so prosperous and they are blessed to have all things go well with them and enjoy good health. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 reminds us of the first commandment, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Because many of our fathers of faith loved God first, they didn't spare even their life for God. It is because they experienced the love of the precious God who reached out to them first and gave up even His own begotten Son for us, sinners. Just as 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, we love because He first loved us. As for Christians, from the moment they meet God, God becomes their everything because they experience such love. With gratitude for God who reached out to them first, healed their diseases, and gave them everlasting heaven, they devote their lives for God. Even without anyone urging them, they pray for God's kingdom and His righteousness and worship Him out of their love for God. They search for reasons for thanksgiving, give offerings, and still think about what more to offer unto God. Those who love God don't consider their situation as too much of a burden, no matter what that is. Even worldly people, while they're seriously in love with someone, they wouldn't hesitate to do even what is challenging or difficult. If we indeed love God first, we would unsparingly give all our possessions and even our life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 reminds us, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. As you go through this trial, I urge you to think whether your love for God hasn't changed since meeting God for the first time. I also challenge you to have a blessed time to grow your faith day by day and develop all the more fervent love for the Father God and our Lord. But what about your love? I urge you to think whether you've indeed loved God first without changing. You used to love God earnestly and passionately work for Him, but at some point, did you compromise with the world, become stagnant in faith, and prioritize your desire for success over God? You need to reflect on yourself like this. What God wants from us is to love Him more than anything else. As said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently ask me will find me. God abundantly pours out His love on those who love Him first. He also tells them, I so dearly love you too, and make sure to demonstrate the evidences of His love. He gives them good health, financial blessings, or whatever they wish in their heart. He also empowers them to perform great power. Brothers and sisters, in order to achieve an unchanging heart that God desires, third, we should be ready to trust God without changing, no matter the situation. If we place our trust in God, God will surely repay our trust with blessings. If we experience such evidences, we get filled up with the Spirit. With stronger faith, we can live all the more fervent Christian life. By the way, there are many cases where people's heart changes once they face a trial. First, joy fades away from their faces. They used to praise and confess their love for God with their lips, but began to complain with their lips. They lament and think why such a thing happens to them. In the worst case, they fall into temptations, abandon their faith, and go back to the world. But if we indeed trusted God, we would never do so. As we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Apostle Paul suffered with the thorn in the flesh. At times, he had to be tormented a lot because of this. So Apostle Paul prayed to God three times for the thorn of Satan to be removed from his flesh. Even while he himself performed great power, his problem was seemingly not resolved. God would, you know, many signs and wonders were manifested through Paul. Even handkerchiefs or aprons, which were carried from his body to the sick, such works were happening. But the thorn of Satan, which was in his flesh, was now removed. And God replied to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Despite hearing this, Paul greatly rejoiced because he loved Father God. It wasn't because God didn't love Apostle Paul that he didn't remove the thorn. Thus, we shouldn't pass judgment about men of God because we, human beings, might have no idea what God's providence and His will is. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations that he received, God intended to keep Paul from exalting himself. This was an expression of God's love. Paul, also, while preaching the gospel, Paul was arrested, got severely beaten with rods, and put in jail in Philippi. As we find in Acts chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, they threw Paul into prison, commanded the jailer to guard him skillfully, and fastened his feet in the stocks. While he was in prison with his body covered in blood, as time went by, the pain from the wounds intensified. He was in a bleak situation. Even in that circumstance, Paul didn't complain of his pain or anguish. Rather, he stayed grateful for God's love and demonstrated his trust by offering heartfelt praises. As his praise moved God, an earthquake broke out and doors to the prison were opened by God's marvelous work. While Paul loved God so dearly, he knew how much God loved him, and trusting in the love of God who loved him to the point of sacrificing his only son and always answered his prayer and kept him company, he didn't harbor even a bit of doubt. Even when he got beaten with rods with his feet fastened in the stocks, he still believed in God's providence. Even when he was in afflictions or required to give up his life, his trust in God never wavered. It has been the case with senior pastor as well. Whether as an ordinary church member or a pastor, he didn't take an easy path alone. He was also in a crisis where all the fruits he's borne with all his life would disappear in an instant. He went through fiery trials where he felt like he would rather die and be in the Lord's arms. But even in sufferings like death, he didn't utter a word of complaint. Neither did he harbor resentment. Remembering Jesus, who went through all kinds of sufferings and was crucified, he's also joyfully walked the way of agony. No matter the hardship, he's believed his way to be the way of blessings and the way to fulfilling the Father's providence. So he offered up only prayer of thanksgiving. In faith, God doesn't want us to remain little children who rejoice at joyful times but start whining and complaining when things don't go as they want. God wants us to become a man of mature faith who deeply figure out Father God's heart and never waver in their love and trust, no matter the hardship. Only when we build such a trust relationship with God can we share love with God as if we were His friend. Just like Abraham or Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters, let me conclude today's message. There was a young man traveling across the desert by his plane, but as his plane crashed, he got stranded in the middle of a desert. His father involved all kinds of ways to find his son. As all his efforts failed, the father decided to spread leaflets all over the desert as the last resort. He pondered on what message to put in the leaflet. Many things came to mind, like ways to survive in the desert, ways to overcome cold, heat, and hunger. But finally, he decided to write the following sentence, "I love you, my son." His son, tormented with extreme hunger and suffering, dramatically spotted a leaflet. He had thought of giving up on his life, but as he saw that message in the leaflet, he got convinced that his father would never give up. Then he found the courage to hold on to his slim chance of survival. His conviction in his father's never giving up on him strengthened him to hold on to his life in such an extreme situation. Brothers and sisters, God gave us tremendous love that cannot be described with words. It is the love of sending His only begotten Son, Jesus. It is the love of having Him crucified for us who are sinners, destined for death. The kind of love that God wants from us isn't just saying, "I love you," only with words. It wouldn't be worthless and useless love that changes either. It would be such unchanging love by which one can love God first, offer all his life, feel and trust in God's love no matter the situation. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, "But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." This verse carries such an essential message for our Christian life. It's because only by faith can we be saved, enter heaven, and become God's children. Next, by having hope, we can take hold of a better place in heaven. Then why does today's passage tell us that love is the greatest of these? The reason is, faith and hope are necessary only during the human cultivation, not after we enter heaven. But love can be shared also in heaven for eternity, particularly those souls entering New Jerusalem have achieved perfect love by God's love. That's why love is most important. The kind of love that God wants isn't just saying, "I love you," with our lips. Neither is it worthless love that changes. It is love by which we love God first and give all our life for Him. It has to be unchanging love by which we can feel and trust in God's love. Today, we've talked about what we should do to achieve an unchanging heart. First, it is not to forget the grace we received. Second, to love God without changing. And third, place unfailing and unchanging trust in the faithful God who helps us no matter the situation. We are filled with anticipation and hope for the new year, 2020. And as we heard from today's Sunday morning service, "Arise, shine," I was filled with hope and I was filled with joy, remembering the 1998 and 1999. Do you remember how God worked after the trial? And I'm filled with anticipation about how God will work for us. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you can receive even greater blessings in the year 2020 and enter the glorious castle of New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.